As we continue our study of the Gospel of Matthew today, we want to continue to look with you at the incidents related to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to record them. The incidents are related to people, and we have looked with you at the faithful women who participated in the burial of the Lord Jesus and were reminded that such faithfulness sets an example for us. We should be faithful because we love him. There is another lesson to be learned from some individuals who were there. I call them the fearless disciples. Obviously, if you are a careful student of the Word of God, you know that I'm not speaking about the 12 apostles when I say the fearless disciples. As a matter of fact, all of them but one were far away at this particular time. John was able to be very close to Christ during those closing hours of trial and tribulation, so he was there in that time. But related to the burial, no, I'm not speaking about the 12 apostles. I'm speaking rather of two disciples who are brought to our attention, one of them here in the Gospel according to Matthew and the other in the Gospel according to John. I am speaking now of Joseph, the Joseph who is identified in verse 57 of our chapter, Joseph of Arimathea. And the other we will be speaking about is Nicodemus, but more about him later. The fearlessness of Joseph is magnified by the fear which characterized his life at one time. The contrast is so great. For we read here in verse 57, when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Now John, reporting this same incident, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, gives us the name of the other disciple in John chapter 19, verse 39. His name was Nicodemus, and John identified him as the Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus Christ answered, you will remember, "Ye must be born again." There is no record in the incident recorded whether or not Nicodemus received the Lord Jesus Christ that night that he came to him. I don't know whether he did that night or not, but I do know that he did receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, because we find him here when it really mattered. We find him here in the crucial hour, standing up to be counted as one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that is the significant thing. All of us have failed. All of us have denied our Lord at one time, and our hearts have been heavy because we have. But the real test of our faith is not when we deny the Lord Jesus Christ, as did Peter in the heat of some feeling, but whether we are there when we are really needed, whether we are there in the final moment. Well, let's learn what we can by examining these men and finding out what the Word of God has to say about them as men, about their character. The first thing that I would suggest to you that Matthew records is that Joseph of Arimathea was a rich disciple. He was a man whom God had slated, had set aside, shall we say, back before the foundation of the world to prepare a tomb in order that the Lord Jesus Christ might be buried properly. Yes, Joseph had already prepared the tomb, and only rich men could do that. He had prepared it for himself. I'm sure he had no idea that it would be the resting place, even for a few brief hours, of the Son of the Living God. But at the right moment, because God is never behind or ahead in anything, Joseph stood up to be counted and provided the tomb in which the Lord Jesus Christ lay, that the prophecy might be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ was buried among the rich in his death. The Lord Jesus Christ, the individual who had not a place to lay his head, how could he be buried among the rich? How could he be buried in a rich man's tomb? For he himself would never be rich. Only could he be buried there because God in his wisdom made provision so far ahead. Do you see the thing that Joseph of Arimathea is most noted for? He provided a burial place for the Savior, a very ordinary thing in one sense of the word. Many of us who have had the opportunity of standing at the empty tomb in the garden, which most people believe is the place where he was buried, but whether it was or not, the fact that it is there and people make annual pilgrimages there, and remember Joseph of Arimathea. You see, it takes so little to be remembered. It takes so little to please the Lord. Now, another thing about these men is brought to our attention in the Gospel according to Luke, and that is that Joseph of Arimathea was an abstaining member of the council. I refer to the Sanhedrin, which voted for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph did not vote for the death of the Lord Jesus. I don't know why. There is ample evidence to think that this council meeting was a stacked one, that all the council was not there, and that they brought men out to the council meeting whom they knew would vote their way. Perhaps that is the reason that he did not vote for the death of the Lord Jesus. He may not have been there. It is possible that he stayed away on purpose because he was afraid not to vote for the death of the Lord Jesus, and he could not conscientiously do so. It could even be that he was there but kept silent, as so many of us do when the real issue is at stake. For we do know that Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple secretly because of fear in his heart. This man, Joseph of Arimathea, was not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, of whom the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, saying, "They are whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones," for they were men who had no real relationship to God. But Joseph of Arimathea did. He was waiting for the kingdom of God. He believed that the Messiah was coming, and he was expectantly awaiting for the Messiah to come and establish his kingdom. When the Lord Jesus Christ made his appearance, Joseph in his heart immediately said, this is he of whom the prophet spoke. Our story might look a little bit better for Joseph if we could say that he not only accepted the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised son, but that he declared it boldly. But we can't say that. And I would like for you to notice in the character of Joseph of Arimathea a characteristic that I'm going to use in relation to all of us, but I'm going to describe it by the word carnality. Joseph probably didn't recognize carnality as we recognize it, because the Holy Spirit of God had not come to dwell in the hearts of men as he dwells in the hearts of men today. But I'm using that word because I think the lesson we should glean from this chapter is important for us to live with. And we know what carnality is, or at least we should. This man, Joseph of Arimathea, there is no question, was that which we would term a born-again believer. Let us establish that. He was born again, but he had carnality present. He was a carnal Christian, as the Apostle Paul spoke in his letter to the Corinthians. There's no question that this man was a man who had fear in his heart. John describes it in chapter 19, verse 38, the fear to which we have already made reference. Notice the words again, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, notice now, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took away the body of Jesus. Do you notice how John reports this incident? Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple, yes, no question about that, but secretly for the fear of the Jews. Now let's stop for a moment and consider what I believe to be a very important lesson. You have individuals tell you oftentimes from the pulpit that if you do not confess before a lot of people that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you cannot be saved. This is one of the methods that is used sometimes by evangelists, and oftentimes, I believe, overworked by thoughtless but conscientious evangelists to encourage people to come down the aisle and make a public confession of faith. They'll say, now, if you receive Jesus Christ and you don't walk down this aisle, Jesus is going to deny you in heaven. Now, there's not a word of truth in that. Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple who confessed in his own heart and evidently to a few more that he was a believer, but he kept the whole thing secret for fear of the Jews. Yes, it is very important for you to share your faith with someone else. In fact, it is our responsibility as believers. But we must not criticize those who, for whatever reason, have not yet seen fit to make a public confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph of Arimathea did not, and it is not necessary for you to declare before the whole world that you are a follower of Christ in order to be saved. But I will tell you this, it is a sign, if you do not make your confession, that you are not walking in the Spirit. It is a sign that you are living in the flesh and not in the Spirit. If you fail to declare that Jesus Christ is your Savior because of the fear of men, fear is an indication that believers who are tied up in it are not walking in the Spirit. God has said in His Word that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And any time that you are fearful, you might as well recognize you are not walking in the Spirit. And though it sounds cruel for me to say it, you are not yielded to the Spirit of God. You are not obeying His command, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let us confess fear as sin and claim the power of the Holy Spirit to live without it.